Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I am a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Friday, June 10th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 9, paragraph 5. I was aghast until we read this one paragraph only, ending with longer than his preaching. Today's readers are Marie M. B. for the steps, Reggie O. for the traditions, Jordan L. will be reading our text, Carol G. will be reading page 164, Shelley E. is our backup reader, Noel E. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E., again, is doing our announcement. Thank you, everyone, for your service. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, June 9th, 2022, 10 a.m. meeting is 19,053. And for this morning at Friday, June 10th, 2022, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 19,057. That's 19,057. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm going to ask Marie M.B. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Marie M.B., recovering compulsive overeater. Welcome, newcomers. Here are the steps we took which were suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Marie. And now, Reggie O., will you please read the 12 traditions for us?
Hi, thank you again. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for being here. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you, Reggie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 9, paragraph 5. And I'm going to ask Jordan L. to please get us started. Jordan?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for moderating for us, Diane. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. I was aghast. So that was it. Last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspected a little cracked about religion. He had that starry-eyed look. Yes, the old boy was on fire, all right. But bless his heart, let him rant. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. I was lucky enough, I guess you could say, to have several Ebbies in my story. There were folks that continued to reach out to me even when I wasn't in Overeaters Anonymous. There were people that reached out to me when I was here and participating and maybe keeping quiet about needing help or not being willing to ask for help or whatever it was. It's a really important element in all of this, like a guide, someone who not tells you what to do necessarily. I think a lot of times we talk about sponsors in that way, like a sponsor's going to tell you what to do. The sponsors, the guides in my life that have been most helpful are the ones that demonstrate what to do. I watch them and I listen and they show me what to do, you know? And I think that's part of, like, what Ebby's doing here for Bill. you know, Bill's making some jokes and calling him a crackpot and all that stuff, which it is what it is, you know, like, I had my own biases, especially about God and people who used that term a lot and were like a quote-unquote God person, you know. but the fact of the matter is, like, when I watched those people, when I watched the people that demonstrate this way of life, they don't just talk about God, but they demonstrate how a higher power's working in their life. Man, that's a message with depth and weight. That is irreplaceable. Words do not capture the depth and weight of that message, you know. and of course, you know, Bill still has his gin, and it's going to last longer than the preaching, which is good, because at this point, like, Bill is listening, you know. He's let Ebby in, and he's open, and he's listening to what he has to say. So it's a special moment in the Big Book and in Big Book history, and for all of us that are here today as a result of that conversation of Bill drunk at his kitchen table talking to Ebby, starry-eyed, and a little cracked about religion. So. I'm grateful for that conversation this morning, too. That's all I got. I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan L. So, let's see. We'll now... Nope. Okay, so now I will take names of people who would like to share. And again, if you haven't if you have shared within the past 3 days, please pass so that others might share their experience, too. Star one to unmute.
Nadia B.
Nadia.
Lorraine G.
Wait a minute,
Jody
Lorraine.
E. G.
Hold on. Jody E. I missed somebody in there, but go ahead. I have Nadia.
J.
Who? Who, J?
Judy.
Judy J. Not Judy E. Oh, Jody E. Judy J. All right, I've got Nadia B., Lorraine, Jody E., Judy J. Anybody else want to share now?
Elaine G.
Elaine. Okay, great lineup. Thank you so much. Okay, so Nadia, we're going to start with you. Star one to unmute.
Thank you so much for your service, Diane. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. You know, I was aghast. That word, you know, I had to Google it, you know, watching with a shock and horror, you know, I didn't like it. I actually, you know, think when I first came to this meeting, I was totally aghast. You know, you guys were really different from every other meeting that I've been to. You know, the word recovered really was heavy on my ear, and I was aghast. And, you know, even though I was dying from untreated alcoholism, because I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for so long, and I knew so much, although, you know, my food would definitely last longer than your preaching or your shares, and I sat here and I listened to you guys and thinking, you know, oh, these people, they're just, it can be true what they're talking about. They're just so, you know, it's just too much for me. You know, they've got too much. It's all about God, and it's all about steps, and it's all about action. And, you know, in the rooms of Eaters Anonymous, I was taught to be gentle on myself, and, you know, relapse was part of this program. And, you know, I saw people that you know, after that were abstinent for maybe, you know, a few weeks, few months, but I've never met anybody or heard anybody that would said, I'm recovered from this condition. And, you know, I can relate to what Bill is feeling, you know, anger, frustration. He's made a decision to eat himself to death because there was no other solution for him. And Abby is, you know, presenting with him with something that seems uncomfortable for him. And it was for me too. I didn't want to attempt a 12-step program because it seemed like too much work. I've seen the steps on the walls. I've seen, you know, but people talked about them. They've never taken actions. And so, you know, for me today, I really feel Bill's pain and I can so relate to him because I felt it just like that. And if you guys are feeling it today, you know, keep on feeling it because that pain is the only thing that, you know, that anger, that frustration with my disease, what produced the fruit of my action. You know, God, I believe, doesn't give me anything I can't handle. And that pain and anger and frustration with my disease helped me to propel into the program of action as described in the big book. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia. Next, we have Lorraine. And if you could give us the initial of your last name and your state, please. Star one to unmute, Lorraine. All right, maybe I didn't hear Lorraine. All right, let's move on to Jody E., please.
Thank you, Diane. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So, yes, here we have Bill being talked to by Ebby, this sober alcoholic, newly sober, who has this starry-eyed look. I've heard that starry-eyed look in your voices also. And that's also what attracted me to this meeting. I could hear your starry-eyed look in your voices. It's the voice and the look of a real solution. And when you're confronted with that, you can't help but surrender to it. You can see it, you can feel it. This peace, this serenity, this conviction that comes from a true solution. Bill is just beginning to be truly ready. And here this angel comes to him. Certainly his higher power is working in his life. Certainly. And he can't help but listen, as we're going to hear tomorrow. But now he's aghast. He's like, what's going on? He's got religion. He's going to rant at me. Well, I have enough gin around here to, I can withstand his ranting. So for right now, for this moment, he is very skeptical. But it's not going to be long before he is struck by the presence of someone who has a real solution, who is sober or abstinent, and who has worked the steps so that they have a real presence about them. And as I said, when I can hear it in your voices when you are recovered. And yes, that word recovered was, I was aghast at that word as well. I had been coming to OA meetings for many years and had never heard that or even considered it a possibility. So thanks to all of you. I too am recovered today, not cured. It's one day at a time, working all these steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody. Next, we have Judy J.
Good morning. This is Judy with an I, J, from Illinois, a recovering compulsive overeater. I remember when I first came into the rooms and I saw the AA book on the table and I thought, well, I'm not an alcoholic. What's this all about? But I did stay. I was curious. And I think that's part of Bill's. He's curious. I've been in the rooms, though, for a long, long time. In and out of recovery, I'm sad to say. I even read the big book with sponsors, but, you know, I embraced it with in my head, my thinking, and not in my heart. This time I'm coming back from a two-year abstinence, and I was desperate, on the floor, crying out to God, help me. So I got a sponsor again and a food plan, and I started calling fellows. Thank you, God. Now when I read Bill's story and I listen to people's shares and I talk to fellows, I realize I'm going to die from this disease. I'm a visual person and I get pictures in my head and I can so relate to Bill this time. In fact, it's hard to even read it coming back from relapse because I can so identify. Thank you, God, for that. I absolutely love him. I love him. I get him. I understand him. I felt his desperation, his loneliness, his regret and shame. I'm now recovering, thank you, one day at a time, almost 90 days of recovery. I'm just so blessed. And it's because, and we'll read this in the next few paragraphs, Bill, through Ebby, through the doctor, through all that, he will live and read about the solution and feel the solution. I'm grateful that I can relate to Bill and that I got desperate. That's hard for me to say, but I am so grateful it brought me to where I'm at today. So if you're a newcomer or returning, whatever, it's when I felt desperate enough and I felt and could relate to Bill that I realized this was more important than anything else I have going on in my life at this time. And thank you all for your service. Thank you all for your shares. And have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy J. Next, we have Elaine G.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elaine from New York. I have a different curve on this whole thing. That I was thinking of my family, actually, when it comes to this. You know, when I first came into OA, and as my father would say, what is this about God, you know? Because we never said that in my family, you know? But they did see that while I was in OA, it was working for me. And I was losing weight, and I was different, you know? And then after weeks, maybe, even months being in the program, that they see how different I am, and maybe there's something to this, you know? And so my friends saw the same thing. And some of them thought I was a crackpot, yeah? When I told them it's all about the higher power and all that, you know? And how could the higher power have something to do with losing weight, you know? And, but they listened to me. One even came into the program, you know. She's not in there now, but hopefully she'll come back. And that's my twist on it. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. Lorraine. Did I hear your name? Star one to unmute, please, if you're still here.
Nope.
Oh. Nope. Okay, we're going to take some more names now. So again, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'm now ready to take new names, people who want to share.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie B. Star one to unmute if you want to share. Ronnie B., we have so far.
Catherine N.
Catherine N. Nobody else? Going once.
T. Ferret B.
Oh, what was your name? I'm sorry.
T. Ferret B.
Can you spell that, please?
Absolutely. T as in Thomas. I.
Mm-hmm.
F as in Frank. E. R. E. T as in Thomas. Last initial B.
T. Ferret B. Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Patty.
Noel E.
Wait a minute, Patty, Noel. Okay, room for one more. All right, we have Ronnie B., Catherine N., Teferet B., Patty, I didn't get your last initial, and Noel. Ronnie B., you're getting us started again. Star one to unmute, please.
Great, thank you very much. Ronnie B. in Missouri, grateful to be here for everyone's service. You know, when I came to Vision, I've been in and out of OA for more than 30 years, and the most back-to-back time I had was 9 months. And that was more than 30 years ago, many more, I hate to say that, like 35. And, you know, so first of all, I love Vision. I love that we do the one paragraph, we focus, and in this case for me, what I'm getting from it is, thank God for the gift of desperation. Thank God, period. Thank God regularly. And I do. I open my eyes in the morning. First thing I do is start thanking my higher power. And for that, I'm very grateful because there are some days when I think, like I've just gone through a whole lot, right? The loss of a dog. Just so many big things for me. And I had the thought, maybe, because isn't it now I'm abstinent again more than 2.5 years. Back to back. And that's no small feat, but God's allowed that. And I allow him in. Sometimes I want to take the bull by the horns and say, I got this. Well, I have nothing but another slip in my abstinence. And if I'm lucky, I get back. Look at how long it's taken me to get this, right? So this program really works for me. And when I feel like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Who doesn't have sugar? Who doesn't binge eat for almost 3 years? And, you know, that still small voice says, well, so far you. And gentle. It's not like, what are you, an idiot? It's you. You know, it's gentle. It's a gentle but firm. So I just need to remember that my higher power is always there for me. And that was one of my readings this morning. Was about remember, with God, all things are possible, right? And with me, another slip is probable, you know? And like I said, for me, it's not like an overnight thing. I don't eat certain things and then come back the next day. Oh, here I am, I'm back. Absolutely not. But I also had a sponsor years ago, and she said to me, she was very loving, and she said, just keep staying in connection. Don't run away from the program. So I still went to program. I just wasn't getting even 2 days back to back. But I still went to so many meetings a week because I was terrified if I didn't, I would have zero chance. And that was true for me. And she said, so whatever you're eating, talk about what you're eating. Talk about why you're eating it. And for me, I wasn't staying connected the way I am today. So this program is truly a gift, and so is each and every one of you. And I'll be staying on at the end because I need to sponsor people, so I'll be putting my name back out there. Thanks.
Thank you. That was Ronnie B. Now we have Catherine N.
Hi, this is Catherine N., recovering compulsive overeater. Thanks for allowing me to share, and thanks for everybody doing the service. When I think about the word recovered, and when I think about, how Bill talks about us, himself being recovered, I think about how it's not only, physical recovery. It's recovery from the thinking that came with my disease. The distorted thinking and now the awareness of my shortcomings, the awareness of, many times trying to control the situation and constantly reminding myself that my higher power is in charge. My higher power is running the show, and I'm not. And so, what I want to do today is, live a spiritual life and be, someone who constantly asks, God, please show me the way. And you've got this, because as long as I can get out of the way of God working in my life, then I can be recovered. And I think that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry. So thank you, Catherine. Now we're up to Tiferet B. Star one to unmute, please. And if you give us the state that you're from, that would be great.
Hi, this is Tiferet B. From Massachusetts. And I just reread this passage the other day. I was aghast. And I love the word aghast in response to religion. And I feel that's the response that a lot of people have toward me when I tell them that I'm working the steps and that I'm in program, because there's a misbelief. I don't think that's a word, but I'm going to make it a word. There's a misbelief that that OA is a Christian program, and we know it's rooted in the Oxford traditions, of course, but the Big Book is so clear about the God of our understanding. It's in italics. It's so important, right? And so many places throughout the book, God, however we understand God, is called so many different things: power with a capital P, spirit of the universe. And, in the 12 and 12, we read, even if we need to let the group itself be our higher power, we just need something to get us outside of ourselves and to help us begin to heal the self-centeredness, which the Big Book tells us is ultimately our problem. So I laugh at this every time I read it, because I see that aghast feeling, that aghast look on people's faces when I tell them that I'm in program. But in the same way that Ebby didn't do any preaching, didn't do any proselytizing, it's about living the program, right? And it's about, ours is a program of attraction rather than promotion, right? And we attract people to our program by working the steps, by living this program, by showing up as good people, by doing service, practicing these principles in all of our affairs. And that's when people will see and say, yeah, I want what you have. How can I get that? And maybe they'll be ready and willing to put aside their aghastness and explore what we have to offer. via the God of our understanding and this way of living that leaves us, God willing, happy, joyous, and free. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Tiferet B. Next, we have Patty. And if you could give us the initial of your last name and your state, please.
Hi, this is Patty M. I'm from Naples, Florida. This was a good paragraph for me because I saw something in myself. It reminded me of the way I am when I'm in the food. And, you know, this gentleman is across the table from him, telling him about what he has found, what new life he is in now. And he's very excited, I'm sure. And he keeps saying that his eyes were twinkling and all of that. But I would be just like Bill. And I would be thinking, well, this guy can rant on all he wants, you know, bless his heart. But I've got enough gin that will last me longer than his preaching, because I couldn't even engage in what somebody else was talking about. When I'm in the food, I am so into the chatter in my head and so into my next fix that it's hard for me to really communicate with people. And I just became very grateful when I read this paragraph because it reminded me of being in the food for me is such a trap. And the only way I can get out of it is by a higher power. And as this guy is trying to explain it to Bill, Bill thinks he's a crackpot, that he's lost his mind, as a lot of us probably did when we first came into program. But then we stayed, and then we came to believe. And I'm so grateful today to be abstinent and to have this program that I can just, you know, call into this meeting and get a connection that lasts me throughout the day. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Patty. Next, we have Noelle E.
Hi, y'all. It's Noelle E. Gratefully recovered compulsive overeater here in Louisiana. And, man, I love everyone here. Thank you for your service who put on this meeting, and thank you for all the shares. Each one has been exceptional. So I think one of my many Ebbies, like someone said before, was my therapist. And at some point in therapy, when she brought up alcoholism and how it could affect me, you know, and that word, aghast, was how I felt, being like, well, that's not a part of who I am, you know, like my dad got sober when I was really young, I can't remember, you know, that, and it's almost like, I don't know if anybody's ever watched Game of Thrones, but that one scene where they're walking Cersei through the streets and the nuns are going, shame, shame, shame. Like, that is what that feeling was when I was in the disease, of thinking that I could, you know, that addiction or alcoholism could be a part of my story. It was just like, you know, you better zip it up and figure this out, because how shameful. But that aghast feeling. And even I remember another time in therapy when I was talking about someone, you know, vomiting in their eating disorder. And I was like, but, you know, I don't do that. So I'm not at that level. Like, just minimizing. And my you know, therapist was like, how is that different than the way you abuse yourself with food? You know, it just is like, I think there's many Ebbies in our life, and I think that feeling, that word is so appropriate to when you just are like, you know, you need to be knocked over by what you, you know, the lies that our disease would have us believe. So, yeah, I'm so grateful for the many Ebbies and everybody on this line. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Noelle E. Okay, we have time for a couple more people to share. Star 1 to unmute and give me your name, please, and your state.
Ann M. Megan Q.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Megan Q.
I think I've got time for one more person.
Helen C.
Somebody C? Who?
Helen.
Helen C. All right. I think that's all we have time for today. We'll see how it goes. So let's see. Ann M., please start. Star one time mute.
Hi, my name is Ann M., a compulsive eater from Washington State. I wasn't going to share until it occurred to me, rereading this, that having visited Akron, Ohio, and into Bill's house that's now a museum, and seeing that kitchen with the table, I thought, oh my gosh, I can imagine that vividly with these two gentlemen speaking. And I do so appreciate the fact that Bill goes step by step through his process of being enlightened. And he uses several words in his story, the whole chapter, that, you know, he gets on fire just like that. And it's just for me that understanding gradually of my own awareness that I am a compulsive eater. I never looked like I had any weight problems at all. So I could stay in denial for a long time. Even my family did not understand that I had an eating disorder that, you know, was very much in my head and not showing. And so I've found over the years I could go in and out of that, but my focus on the weight and the fact that that constant need to stay at a certain number, and I mean my story is long, but it's been many years, probably 1989 when I came in first and really grasped it, and that process takes different time or different lengths of time for various people. And I've heard over the years in meetings that same thing, but I can still get into the, and I'm going to finish now, but get into the obsessing about other people's weight and in my family as well as in my own, you know, just strangers. And that is part of my disease, and working the steps 1, 2, and 3 and writing on it, sharing this with my sponsor, using the tools to help me work the steps. It's a spiritual part of me that I need to focus on rather than that. So the only way I can do it is to work these 12 steps. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ann M. Next, we have Megan Q.
Hi, my name is Megan Q, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and I was looking up the definition of aghast, and it says filled with horror or shock, and I think that I had so many lifetime ideas that the only way to get out of, you know, the torture of overeating was diets or willpower, depriving myself and struggle. And when I came to visions and people were talking about how they were getting abstinent and it was through a power greater than themselves, I just couldn't believe that God would, you know, could be bothered with food. And my ideas about that have changed. And when I got to learn about what complete abstinence looked like and got given a food plan and then started taking the steps and starting getting connected to God, I couldn't believe that that's been the answer. And I'm now on, you know, a road to becoming recovered, and it could only happen through that. But I do remember when I first got here, I thought there had to be something different. It couldn't just be, you know, it couldn't be God, because it has been such a difficult thing my whole entire life. And it turns out that really the answer for me today is a spiritual solution. And I'm just really grateful to be in a place that offers that. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Megan. Helen C., your turn.
Good morning, everyone. This is Helen C. in Northern California, recovering compulsive overeater. Today is day 16. That is nothing short of a miracle and has nothing to do with me and everything to do with my higher power. I relate to the Ebby story. When I was 24 and in the height of my alcoholism, I was a cocktail waitress, and this beautiful girl got a job as a cocktail waitress there, and I came to find out that she was sober, and I was like, really, you don't drink? I don't understand. And through the course of our relationship, I was led to AA and got sober. I didn't stay sober, but I am now. But anyway, fast forward to OA. The Visions Group. And I was in OA for, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years. And I had wonderful sponsors that had long-term abstinence and that could maintain, you know, abstinence through through their own, different food plans, and I had wonderful people help me and try to help me, and I could not maintain an abstinence. And because I was still in certain foods, I was willing to give up, you know, flour and sugar, but don't even talk about the other things that I'm not even going to tell you that I'm compulsively eating. But I knew. But the thing is, I never thought I could achieve the kind of abstinence that I have now. I just did not think that was possible, to give up all the foods that I was, you know, killing myself with. And it has everything to do with God, everything to do with God. And I have no doubt I was led to these Visions meetings. I mean, I have no doubt. And I have friends in this program now, and I'm on step two. And the compulsion to overeat for the past 16 days has been completely lifted. And I was in the thick of it. I mean, in the thick of it. Throwing up, eating food out of the trash, you know, ordering food to be delivered sometimes 3 times a day. Just filled with self-hatred and yet still thinking I can manage it. I mean, that's the insanity, right? So I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Helen C., and welcome back. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Carol G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until the bottom of the page.
Hi, this is Carol. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.